Let's talk about the Wonder Weeks and how these affect how your baby or your toddler sleeps. So unless you've been living under a rock for the last few years, you will have in no doubt heard of the Wonder Weeks. Maybe the book, or maybe you've downloaded the app to your phone. Maybe you live by it, maybe you loathe it and you want to delete it from your phone. I'm Emma, the owner and founder of Baby Sleep Consultant, and today I'm going to talk to you about how I see the Wonder Weeks affecting sleep as a professional sleep consultant, and with having worked with thousands and thousands of babies, not just my own children, maybe putting your mind at a little bit of ease when it comes to these Wonder Weeks. So the authors of this book, The Wonder Weeks, they compared observational studies of infant chimps to the hierarchical perceptual control theory developed by William T. Powers. They did further human observations, and then they wrote the book Wonder Weeks. Side note, no scientists have ever been able to replicate what these guys have observed and published. So it really is quite the book based on sort of one lot of observational studies. Now, a Wonder Week refers to leaps in mental development, and they are hypothesized to be linked to grumpy periods or regressions in your baby's sleep. In total, there are 10 developmental leaps that occur in the first 20 months of your baby's life. That is a lot. And according to the authors of Wonder Weeks, each leap may be preceded by a period of fussiness, grumpiness, clinginess in the baby's mood and temperament. And if I've spoken to enough clients, they tell me that yes. So what they see is their baby getting grumpy or grizzly, and they go to the app and they have a look and they see, oh, there is a leap coming up. And that kind of puts their mind at rest. So knowing this can be empowering for some people. They're confident, their baby's not sick, nothing's wrong. They're simply going through a developmental leap, and that's great. For parents who find this knowledge overwhelming, it may be best to delete the app, return the book to the library, and just simply enjoy your baby. I know for myself, I didn't enjoy knowing that another grumpy period was just around the corner, and it kind of, made me a little bit apprehensive to be thinking, oh no, here we go again. And your baby is a baby, they're not a robot, so they will have a fussy, grumpy period, but you hopefully are a fantastic parent and you can respond accordingly, and this too will hopefully pass pretty quickly. We have found the sooner our clients establish healthy sleep habits and a predictable routine, the easier they navigate these fussy stages with minimal to any periods of unhappiness. Whereas if those really good sleep habits haven't yet been established, then we do find those babies are sort of more susceptible to these sleep regressions. So this is due to parents being able to confidently read the cues their child is giving them within the context of what they know their baby needs or does not need. If you have a regular routine and your baby is able to self-settle without any difficulty, then during a stormy period week, so like coming up in the Wonder Weeks app, it says it's a stormy period week, you can easily identify whether your baby is just feeling a bit grumpy or if they are perhaps in need of a nap or a feed. And that's because those cues that your baby is giving you, whether it's grizzly or crying, can easily be interpreted within the context of their routine, because you know, okay, they just woke up from a 2-hour nap, or they haven't had a feed for 3 hours. So that can be really helpful in interpreting what your baby needs and navigating that stormy period without much disruption. On the other hand, if your baby seems to be getting restless, it could be an indication that they're ready for like a change of scenery. You know, if they have only been awake for an hour and usually they're awake for two, they've had a feed, they might have had some solids, so you know they're not hungry, and maybe they actually just need a change of scenery. You won't be second guessing your nap routine or how much sleep your baby needs if you have a predictable nap routine in place during these stormy periods. So having this predictability means that you can help your baby to meet their changing needs without a lot of crying and fussing. Many of our clients express their concerns about the impact of Wonder Weeks on their baby's sleep. Sometimes it even puts them off wanting to address issues in their baby's sleep because they can look in the app and see, oh, but there's another Wonder Week coming up or another stormy period. But if we look at the stats there, you know, they're kind of every month or two. So this would inhibit you from really addressing any sleep challenges for quite a long time. Now, although we understand that during these developmental leaps, new brain synapses are being formed, skills are mastered, and the brain is engaged in a lot of activity, we also know that sleep is crucial for transferring these skills from short-term to long-term memory. However, it is possible for your baby to continue sleeping well during these Wonder Week leaps, particularly once they have established those predictable sleep patterns and those healthy sleep habits that we mentioned earlier. Now, when I do read the Wonder Weeks book, the only information I can see in there around the effects on sleep is virtually the same thing for every single leap. They talk about you might notice less sleep, nap strikes, early wakes, and delayed onset of sleep. Now, apart from not mentioning fragmented or broken night sleep, they've pretty much covered, I guess less sleep covers that, but they've pretty much covered every sleep challenge that you could be facing as a parent of a baby or a toddler, and then attributing it to the stormy period or the leap that the baby's going through. So I feel a little bit dubious about that description. So what I have done is gone through the leaps and created a description of how I see these panning out in our clients with a bit more description and helpful tips than you will see less sleep, nap strikes, early wakes, and delayed onset of sleep. So Wonder Week Leap 1 in the book is mentioned around 5 weeks or a month old. Now, what is actually going on at this time for a newborn baby? Newborns are born with a level of melatonin and some maternal melatonin from their mothers, but it's not a lot. So this makes newborns relatively sleepy in those first few weeks, and their sleep is very neurologically immature and there's not a lot of structure to it. But as this melatonin from the mum starts to wear off and your baby's circadian rhythm starts to mature, and there's a bit of a misconception here that people think newborns have no circadian rhythm, and then suddenly at 3 months or 4 months, 100% like a switch, they suddenly now have a circadian rhythm, and that's just not true. It is gradually developing from when your baby is born. So this Wonder Week Leap 1 around 5 weeks old, your baby's starting to wake up to the world, their circadian rhythm is starting to develop, and this can start to present issues with settling. So if you previously managed to just pop your baby down and they slept through, you know, loads of noises and carry on, this can change around 5 weeks or 1 month old, where your baby is a lot more aware of what's going on, their circadian rhythm is developing, and everything is changing rapidly, and they just are not as easy to get down. This is a really common time where we hear from clients that they need some help. And really, it's when you might have to start working on some consistent hands-on settling and experiment with what actually works for your baby. So like I mentioned, you previously may have been able to get them down easily and thought, well, I have a dream baby, I just pop them down and they sleep. And now suddenly you're having to do all the things, you know, they want you to swaddle them, shush them, pat them, rock them. They're using a dummy or a pacifier, and they're difficult to get to sleep. The other thing that does happen around this time with the development of the circadian rhythm and the sort of gradual maturation of your newborn's sleep is that they can start to stay awake longer. And often we are stuck in this mindset of, you know, quickly get them back to bed, 40 to 60 minutes awake, and then you're trying to force a baby to sleep who's just not tired. So looking at how long they're awake for during this period can also help with settling if it's under tiredness, it's making them sort of fight you on going to sleep. Now, Wonder Week Leap 2 is around 8 weeks or 2 months old. And what we actually know is going on at this time is that crying is peaking in newborns between 6 and 8 weeks of age. So this is a really tricky time for lots of families. You know, you're experiencing more crying than you have in the last 6 weeks. It's literally peaking at this time. but also knowing that cluster feeding is on its way out at this time and your baby might be craving an earlier bedtime. So like I mentioned around Wonder Week Leap 1 and the gradual maturation of the circadian rhythm, we know that the circadian rhythm is still maturing and that often around this 8-week period, your baby is wanting an earlier bedtime. So where you previously might have been cluster feeding from say 5 in the afternoon through until 10 or 11 at night, and now they're suddenly spending this time crying, it's because the cluster feeding is on its way out. You should have a good supply established. Baby's probably really good at transferring milk from you. And their circadian rhythm is saying, hey, actually, I want to go to bed a bit earlier now. So let's pull this earlier. I need a bit more night sleep. And if you're not responding to that, then that can obviously lead to a grumpy, unsettled baby, which could be classified as going through a stormy period. So by 8 weeks, newborns are happy to stay awake around 1.5 hours plus between naps. And like I mentioned with the Wonder Week Leap 1, sometimes parents don't realize how quickly their baby's awake window increases. And you might be trying to settle an undertired baby also during this Leap 2. So have a look at their awake time and make sure they actually have enough sleep drive from being awake long enough to actually take a nap. And obviously always ensure that your newborn is making good weight gains each week. So get them checked by a health professional, as a hungry baby will be really fussy and won't sleep well. And this can often be, again, overlooked and just sort of dismissed as a Wonder Week Leap and nothing to worry about, when actually there's a bigger issue going on and they're not feeding well. So you want to make sure that you are looking at that. So let's move on now to Wonder Week Leap 3. This occurs around 12 weeks old or 3 months. And now your baby's circadian rhythm is pretty much fully formed. So we've talked a lot about how it's gradually forming and maturing. And by 3 months, it's pretty much there. They know the difference between night and day. And this is a great age to work on consistent naps and establish a nap routine that includes a really good pre-sleep ritual to gradually encourage your baby to settle more independently of you. So we're not talking about full-blown cried out, but you know, being able to put them down when they're ready to sleep and see if they'll put themselves to sleep. And if they won't, help them a little bit and then see if they can do it themselves a bit more. And lots of babies really begin to outgrow being rocked and padded to sleep at this age, and it can gradually frustrate and not settle your baby. So some of the strategies that worked really well in the newborn weeks, your baby will start to outgrow them, and this can be really frustrating for them and cause them to be fussy and protesting when it's time to go to sleep. Some babies at this age are beginning to roll from tummy to back and might be starting to fight their swaddle as well. So that could be something that you also need to look at, maybe removing the swaddle completely and switching to a sleeping bag, or popping one arm out if they haven't rolled yet, but they seem to be fighting the swaddle. So making this transition can really help with their sleep if they are nap striking or protesting going to sleep. And your baby is likely experiencing waking after 45 minutes at this age, as their sleep cycles are really obvious. And you'll need to start working on teaching your baby to go down more awake, like we talked about, to help with these sleep cycle wake ups. The more awake they go into their cot at the start of the sleep cycle, the more likely they are to be able to get back to sleep after that 45 minute sleep cycle. So Wonder Week Leap 4, they mention in the book, this is around 19 weeks old or 4 months. And as sleep consultants, we would say, welcome to the 4 month sleep regression. There's a lot going on. We talked a little bit about it in the Leap 3, with that maturation of the circadian rhythm and the sleep cycles emerging. So if you hadn't already noticed 45 or 30 minute sleep cycles in your baby, then you probably will by 4 months or 19 weeks. Your baby is entering the period where they can begin to use their positive sleep associations to start to settle themselves to sleep and back to sleep. So if you're putting them down with a really good pre-sleep ritual and they're in a sleeping bag or a swaddle, maybe they've got some white noise and they're in a nice dark room, maybe you sing the same song before they go to bed and you're starting to let them put themselves to sleep, This is where they can start to pick up the skill of self-settling and then start to use the skill also to resettle themselves into a longer nap if they're still taking short naps. And it can be really essential skill, this resettling, to work on. But you would only want to be starting to work on it if they also have a long enough awake period. If they're undertired and awake a lot less than 2 hours during the day, then in all likelihood, they won't need to resettle into a longer nap. So you want to wait till they can handle closer to 2 hours awake for this Wonder Week Leap 4. And then you could start to go, okay, now I really want to focus on them resettling once a day into a longer nap. The other thing that can happen during this period is you can start to notice more frequent wake ups at night, and often these can be 2 hourly or 2 to 3 hourly, and these will be a big change from a lot of our clients will say, previously my baby was only waking once or twice a night and now they're waking every 2 to 3 hours. You know, are they suddenly really hungry? Although I notice when I feed them at night, they then are really fussy during the day and are not feeding well during the day. And that's because they're starting to reverse cycle with all those night wake ups and they're just not hungry during the day. Often parents will tell us, you know, the only way I can get my baby to feed during the day is to go into a dark room and do all this rigmarole. And it's not a feeding issue. It's that they're just not hungry because they're feeding every 2 hours at night. And they're feeding every 2 hours at night because they are starting to fully wake up during those partial... So at night, we have sort of full wake-ups at the end of a sleep cycle, and then we have partial arousals in the middle of sleep cycles. And if your baby has no ability to get to sleep without you, or they are very dependent on you to get to sleep, or they go into their cot from being asleep in your arms, then often we see them waking up more fully during these partial arousals at night and crying out, because the brain senses during this partial arousal or movement between sleep phases that they are in a new sleep location. They fell asleep in your arms and now they're in the cot or the crib, and the brain senses this. And so instead of drifting into the next sleep phase, it fully wakes the baby up and they start crying for you. And as parents, often our first instinct is simply to feed. And so we will rush in and feed, and then we get stuck in this pattern of feeding to sleep every 2 hours through the night and reverse cycling, where your baby's just not hungry during the day. So that's kind of what's going on during Wonder Week Leap 4. Now, Wonder Week Leap 5, this occurs around 26 weeks old or 6 to 7 months. And it is, in my opinion, the biggest month for sleep changes so far. I know that people talk about newborns being difficult, but there is so much going on in this period of time, often called the Leap 5. So what's going on? Your baby is probably starting solids, and this can affect the gut and how your baby feels with all these new byproducts of food digestion. So where they previously were eating one thing, whether it was formula or breast milk, you know, the byproducts of digesting that food is very consistent. Whereas once they start eating solids, different kinds of foods every day, they can start to produce a lot more gas and it just feels very different. And this can start to affect their sleep and they can feel a bit weird and sleep can go a bit wonky. Obviously, you do have to start solids. You can't put this off. But it's just good to know that the sleep might go a bit haywire while this is happening. Now, the other thing is rolling both ways has usually started by this time. So whilst babies roll quite early from tummy to back, rolling from back to tummy is usually a much later milestone around sort of the 6 month mark. And they can often do this a lot during their sleep. So hopefully they're in a sleeping bag by now, which is nice and safe. But what we usually see is baby rolling from back to tummy in their cot or their crib, and then pretending that they are like a stuck seal and they can't roll back and they cry out for your help. So you go back and roll them to their back, and then 1 minute later they do it again. And this can become, you know, a struggle for them to get to sleep. So we do know that there is a slight increase in the risk for SIDS in the first 2 to 3 days when a baby learns to roll. So I do recommend that as a parent, you help them to roll for those first couple of days, but also in that time, you can spend a lot of time during the day when they're not sleeping, popping them down on their tummy and working on rolling from tummy to back outside of sleep time and really creating that muscle memory so they can do it in their cot. You might even pop them in their sleeping bag during their playtime so they can practice rolling tummy to back in their sleeping bag and get more confident that they can do it in their cot or their crib. And then after those 2 to 3 days, you can back it off a little bit and let them do it a bit more themselves. The other thing that's often going on in this time period is baby starts teething. We'll do a completely new podcast on teething because it's such a huge topic. And this can start to disrupt sleep a little bit, and parents can really worry their baby's in a lot of pain with teething, which can make parents respond really quickly or differently to how they used to. You know, if there's doubt in your mind that your baby's in pain from teething, then it can make parents introduce new sleep associations, which can really quickly be habit forming and cause your baby to wake up more frequently, looking for this sleep association to get back to sleep. Okay, so 1 to week 6. We go from 26 weeks to 37 weeks, which is 9 to 10 months old. And let's have a look at what's going on during this leap. So by 8 months, your baby has object permanence. They understand when you leave the room, you still exist. And this can lead to separation anxiety, which may start to disturb and disrupt bedtime and settling. So previously, your baby didn't really understand that you existed when you were out of sight. Now they do, and they know you're outside of their room when they're sleeping or in their bed. And this can lead them to, you know, be crying because they would rather be with you. And that's what separation anxiety is. Now, the ways that you can help this is trying pop-ins. So leaving the room and then returning frequently and showing your baby that you do come back and that you do exist when you're out of sight, and they can build that confidence that you do come back and that they are okay when you're outside the room. Sometimes you can talk to them when you're outside the room so that they again can be reassured that you're just out of sight, you still exist, and it really does build that confidence. And you pop in, you pop out, and they get used to you coming and going, and that becomes more of the norm, and they feel a lot more comfortable going to sleep. The other thing you can do is just sit quietly while next to their cot, so you haven't left the room, you're just sitting right there with them. I wouldn't get into a situation where you are becoming the sleep association. You know, they're 9 or 10 months old. They don't need you to do things like pat or rock or feed them to sleep. Sitting there should be enough if it's separation anxiety, because what they are worried about is you leaving and you haven't left. You're sitting right there. Now, if they're still crying and fussing and protesting with sleep, then maybe it's not separation anxiety because you are not separate from your child at that point. The other thing that's going on during leap 6 is crawling is very well established, and this big movement for your baby can disrupt their sleep. They love to practice their crawling around the cot when they should be sleeping, and their brains are really busy learning this new skill. And I see this as probably one of the biggest sleep blips when your baby is learning to crawl. So when they are learning to crawl, they have to change their eye focus from the ground to the horizon. And this is what is building these new brain synapses. And this is combined with the crisscross body movement of arms versus legs. So there is so much going on in the brain with the eye focus change, the crisscross body movement. And then you're saying to your baby, okay, now switch all that off and go to sleep. And that can be a lot, and it can mean that sleep is a bit of a struggle during this time period. And I would recommend that you don't try to force your baby to lie down in their cot and go to sleep if they're cruising around. Just let them be. They'll get tired enough eventually that they'll either cry out for some help from you or they'll lie down and go to sleep. They might not sleep as well as they did prior to crawling, or they might actually sleep better because they're more physically tired. But things do settle down once the crawling becomes a bit more of a normality in the everyday life that your baby's going through. Okay, so what about 1 week leap seven? This occurs around 46 weeks old. When do we stop referring to them in weeks old? I'm not sure. But this is 11 to 12 months. So more commonly known by sleep consultants as the 12-month sleep regression. And it is the biggest regression of them all, in my opinion. So bigger than the crawling regression. And this one requires us to actually do the least. So your baby might fight their morning nap, but most babies still need this nap at this age despite refusing it for a couple of weeks. That's okay. They can nap strike for a couple of weeks. They might be standing in their cot now. And because they're standing, they often lock their knees and refuse to sit down or lie down, which can make it really difficult for them to fall asleep. And temperament-wise, they're very stubborn, which can also mean that they are able to nap strike for a couple of weeks, which again is why we actually as parents need to do the least. Just continue to offer them the nap, limit it to 15 minutes if the lunch nap begins to shorten. And if they don't sleep at all during the time that you're offering them a nap, just get them up at the end of the nap and move on with your day. It will start to come back and fall back into place. Your baby is going through such a huge learning curve of learning to pull up, stand up, walk, talk. Again, with the brain development, all of this is going to disturb their sleep. And the best thing you can do as a parent is have a really nice, relaxing pre-sleep ritual before you start your naps and your bedtime. And don't introduce any new sleep associations if they're not sleeping. That's on them. It will come back when they're ready. Don't panic. Okay, 1 week leap eight is when they are 13 to 14 months old. I'm kind of triggered saying that they're 55 weeks at this point. And by this age, your baby will drop to one nap. And the month preceding this can be a really messy time where sometimes they need the morning nap, sometimes they don't. Sometimes if you offer the morning nap, they refuse the lunch nap. Sometimes if you don't offer the morning nap, they're overtired at lunchtime and they only do one sleep cycle. Sometimes they start to wake early when they're transitioning to one nap because they're a bit overtired. Or if you don't make the transition to one nap, they might be a bit undertired and start to wake early. So there's a lot going on in this transitional stage where we're moving to one nap. And your baby is still getting really physical in their ability to move and climb and walk and run. And this is making them really physically tired. So they still need a good 11 to 12 hours of sleep at night. But they might start to show you some pushback as they test their independence on you. They're becoming what I call mini toddlers. So make sure you stick with your really consistent routines and allow your mini toddler plenty of time to wind down and prepare to sleep at night. You know, a good amount of stories and quiet time. They really are not going to enjoy it if you try to sort of dump and run in terms of just popping them in bed and leaving. They need that transition time. Okay, 1 week leap nine. We are looking at 16 months old or 64 weeks. Still feel triggered saying that. And what's going on at this time? So if you have great sleep habits established, you should make it through these months relatively unscathed. But you may, however, need to start saying no as your toddler starts to test bedtime boundaries. So they might be making requests for more things or asking for you to lie down with them or leave the light on and all these kind of things. And this does start to be the stage where you have to put boundaries in place and as a parent start to get comfortable saying no when the requests are just there to delay bedtime and are unreasonable. So remember that crying out for milk at night is a boundary. And if you have previously night weaned your toddler, then be really consistent with this boundary. We do find that a lot of toddlers test this at this age and they do start to cry out and verbalize the request for milk. And then parents find it hard to say no because the toddler is actually asking for something. But if you have night weaned, this is a boundary you've put in place and they can go back to sleep without the milk. And if you reintroduce the milk, you will start to create a new sleep association. And 3 months down the track, you're going to be thinking, oh no, now I have to re-sleep train because I reintroduced the milk. Conversely, early waking toddlers are also testing boundaries at calling out at 5 a.m. So unless they're undertired because you're giving them too much day sleep or putting them to bed too early, waking at 5 a.m. is just a period of light sleep that toddlers are going through, and they are looking to see what the cause and effect relationship is here. If they wake up and they call out or they cry out and you get them up to play, then the cause and effect relationship to them is great. They have realized if I call out or cry out, I get up and we start playing. So that's what I'll do every day. They're not manipulating you. This is not manipulative. This is just simply your toddler figuring out cause and effect. If they call out or they cry out, but you just expect them to go back to sleep and you insist they stay in their cot and go back to sleep, then that's more likely to be what the long-term result is, as much as that's really hard because 16-month-olds are very loud and very stubborn. Okay, and now we're going to look at Wonder Week Leap 10, which is the last one mentioned, and this is around 18 months old. So many parents are starting to become more comfortable with discipline in the day at this age. And by discipline, we don't mean smacking and punishing, but just putting some boundaries in place and getting comfortable with, you know, saying no and understanding what your boundaries are. But a lot of parents still struggle to view tantrums around sleep to be the same as a tantrum around getting in a car seat or sitting in a high chair to eat or putting their shoes on. So whilst they might have, you know, a lot of parents will have an approach they use during the day, they then are different when this same behavior occurs around sleep. But what you actually need to do during this leap 10 is be really consistent in your approach both day and night, because your toddler will definitely be on one nap by this age, and they will begin to gradually over the next 12 months shorten this nap and start to need less sleep at night. So the sleep they are going to be getting is really important, and if they are having tantrums or protesting around sleep, which we often see, and we respond differently and sort of give in to these tantrums and pushbacks compared to what we do during the day, then these things will start to be habit forming. Also understand that separation anxiety can rear up again at this age. So where we know previously they have developed that object permanence and they understand we've left the room, now it can just be about building your toddler's confidence again with the pop-outs that you come back. So a really great strategy can be leaving for 10 seconds with a reason to leave the room and then coming back after the 10 seconds and, you know, praising them for staying in bed and being so nice and quiet, give them a kiss on the head, lie them down and leave the room for a bit longer and come back and do it again. And so you're building their confidence that they can stay in their cot or their crib and that you do come back. And then in the morning you can tell them you came back to check on them one last time, but they were actually asleep. And you might tell them they looked so cute sleeping, but you did come and check on them. So again, really building that confidence for them that you do come back and they can be confident going to sleep knowing that they are still sort of linked to that family dynamic. And this is a really typical age for a new baby to also emerge on the scene. And a lot of parents struggle with a juggle here of a newborn and a toddler. So you really want to make sure when this is happening that you are being firm on your boundaries with your toddler. You know, having boundaries in place is actually nicer for a toddler than having boundaries that constantly fall over and they don't really know what's expected of them. So even when you are tired and you have this toddler and baby scenario to deal with, being as consistent as you can is really helpful for your toddler's consistency around their sleep. So that's something to think about if you have a new baby on the way. So that's the 10 Wonder Weeks, or the Wonder Week Leaps, as described by the book. Hopefully that's given you a bit more information than just those four sleep descriptions that they constantly give you in the book and telling you that your baby is just going to be grumpy and grizzly. There is a lot that goes on in the first 2 years of a baby's life that impacts on sleep. I do think education is power, so understanding what's going on should be empowering, and should give you knowledge that enables you to interpret cues within the context of what's happening and respond appropriately in accordance with sort of your own family values and your parenting style, rather than constantly feeling like you're winging it and you have no idea what's going on and you have no idea how to respond and you're kind of panic parenting based on every new little thing that's popping up and maybe getting a bit of anxiety from the app on your phone telling you your baby's going through a stormy period. If that's you, I recommend deleting the app. No one needs that in their life. You know, just stick to things that make you feel empowered and educated and like you actually can be a great parent. Now, if you do need some more help on this, click the links in our bio and you can read more about the Wonder Weeks on our website. Or if you've heard something today that you need some help with, maybe, you know, you've heard talking about putting your baby down awake or self-settling or consolidating night sleep and you're like, oh, I need some help with that. Obviously, click through the links in our bio and we can help you one-on-one with that. Or we have a load of resources you can download if you are more of a DIY person. Hope this was helpful. I'm Emma, the owner and founder of Baby Sleep Consultant. And I think next week we are going to talk about teething. So come back next week for a chat about teething and sleep.